Hello and welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. This is episode 5. On the podcast with me tonight is Finlay, Archie and Robbie. Finlay, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, I don't think anyone wants to hear me moan about Arsenal, so I'm going to move on quickly from that.
Probably wise. Archie, how you doing, mate?
Not too much better, unfortunately, Stefan. Spurs lost to Ipswich, so I really won't say anything more on that.
Yeah, you guys are having a rough time. Robbie, how you doing?
Well, Liverpool have had a good weekend, so I'd quite like to hear Findlay moan about Arsenal quite a bit, actually. So,
I think we'll move on. Thank you very much. We're here to talk about Scottish football, so let's do that.
Let's do that indeed. An insane week in Scottish football. If we look at what went on in Europe, Celtic rolled out 3-1 winners against RB Leipzig, Rangers got a vital point in Piraeus against Olympiacos, and Hearts fell to Heidenheim of Germany. I think it was a 2-0 defeat. Although Hearts did give themselves something that they could be proud of in terms of it was a score-wise, terrible result, but performance-wise, one of their better ones this season. Let's start with Celtic versus Leipzig very quickly. Finlay, what was your thoughts on that?
Hugely impressed by Celtic. They looked like the side that Brendan Rodgers really thought they were when everyone suspected that they were kind of useless, naive. Brendan Rodgers really stuck to his guns and thought, no, this is the team. I think we're going to do something here. I was sceptical, honestly, very sceptical. Then the Atalanta result, and then this totally blew my mind. Nicholas Kuhn is some player. I'm very excited to see more. My only thought is I'd love to see them be able to back it up away from home. So, you know, something to be very pleased about.
Archie, surprising for you, or did you think it was a merited result?
Yeah, I think games like these for Celtic, it proves how diverse a portfolio they can have with these games. You still want to prove yourself in those different competitions, and I think Celtic were really able to do that. They did really give Leipzig a lesson, to be honest. I think Leipzig were really poor in most departments going into that game, but regardless, to get a 3-1 victory is really impressive for them, and it really helps for their campaign going forward.
Robbie, I guess for you, can you see Celtic now? Are they almost guaranteed a finish for the knockout rounds of the next stage of the Champions League?
I don't think anything's guaranteed, but I think they've got a good chance of doing it. I think the next three fixtures, you've got Club Brugge at home, Zagreb away, and then Young Boys at home. I think those two home fixtures, you know, if the Leipzig game is anything to go by, I think there could be some more points picked up there, I think, really. I would like to actually quickly talk about someone that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, very briefly, when we were talking about Adam Ida, Arne Engels. I thought he had a really good game, actually, against Leipzig. And I think that it's nice to see that, because we were saying that there's been a bit of scrutiny about him, I think, because of his price tag and his inconsistent performances, I think. But to go out against, you know, against a top European side and play so well, I think there's quite a lot to be excited about the lad.
Yeah, I think a lot of Celtic fans in the last couple of weeks have been a little bit bemused by some of Arne Engels' performances, but I think when you look at his performance in midweek and some of the play he had with Alistair Johnston, but more importantly Nicholas Kuhn, he absolutely didn't look out of place at all, and was one of Celtic's, well, I don't think Celtic had any bad players on the night, but he certainly was, you know, he was very consistent all night. I guess, like, if you're a Celtic fan, you look at the Champions League and you try to think to yourself, what would be a good finish and where would be a good result for Celtic to finish and where can they place? I don't think many people, when the draw came out, first seen that Celtic would run out as 3-1 winners against the team that was second and may still be second in the Bundesliga, considering what Dortmund did to them in the Signal Iduna Park. I think it blew everyone away. Would you agree with that, Finlay?
No, I think so, but I would I would say what Celtic now 7 points, would not qualifying for the next round be a disappointment? You know, you've got that performance against Leipzig, incredible. If they fail to build on that, do you think that's a failure of a campaign for Brendan Rodgers in the Champions League?
I wouldn't say that it's a failure. I think they have to capitalize on it. They're in a very good position. I think if you're a Celtic fan and you've seen that you had 7 points in the group stage, or in the league phase rather, you would be almost pinching yourself at the prospect of qualification for the next round. But I think any Celtic fan will know that Celtic in Europe is an absolute circus, and that nothing's guaranteed. But they've left themselves on a really strong footing to reach the next campaign. Sorry, to reach the next stage. Would it be a failure? I think that's a strong word. I think it would probably be a disappointment.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I don't know what the other two think, but I don't know how. I can't see Celtic squad getting that much better this time next year. And I see, you know, they would do well to hold on to Nicholas Kuhn in January. I don't see a way they hold on to him this summer. I don't know if either, you know, Archie or Robbie just feel like he's heading out.
Archie?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think with the form he's in at the moment, Rodgers will be idolising him as a player, to be honest. He'll know what kind of calibre of player he's got at the moment. I just don't think he wants to get ahead of himself and think that the team needs to be built around him, because I mean, like you said, Finlay, you don't want it to come to January and see that the there's discussions about him leaving the club, or then going on into the summer and him leaving the club. So I think you focus on what you have now is the most important. And I think it's 4 goals he's got this season now, and incredible start to the campaign. So I think really just don't quit while you're ahead, I suppose, is the best way of saying it. Just focus on what you're able to put forward in the coming fixtures.
I think when you look at Celtic, they're in no position that they have to sell Nicholas Kuhn. It would have to be an extremely great amount, more than 25 million, to even persuade Celtic to let him go in January. It's something that I've seen tweets, I've seen sources saying that Brentford are interested, there's a number of clubs in England interested. But for him to leave in January, when he's a crucial part of Celtic's team and the goals he's came up with this season and the assists that he's delivered this season, it would have to be a substantial amount of money for Celtic to even consider letting him go, let alone letting him go in January. Let's quickly fix and switch gears a second, and we'll move to Rangers' vital point against Olympiacos in Piraeus on Thursday night. Finlay, myself and you watched the game. What was your thoughts?
It's a draw, it's a point. It's not the best result in the world from the outside, but it was a very good performance. And I think Rangers desperately needed to show that they are still a kind of strong side in Europe. I think Philippe Clement definitely needed the point at a minimum. And I wouldn't call it a scrappy point by any means. I think they looked pretty good. It was pretty even. Let's not forget Olympiacos are Conference League champions. El Kabi, some striker, you know, you saw that from the finish. I think they did well, and I think they really benefited from it, and they've given themselves a good chance of progressing here. I don't know if you were as convinced by the performance as I was.
No, I thought it was an admirable performance in Europe. Rangers seemed to really deliver in terms in Europe, and I thought that they played well. I thought both teams could have won it towards the end of it. I think I said that to you at the time. I thought there's chances for either side here. I thought originally when El Kabi scored, you were fearing for Rangers because you were thinking, okay, they've conceded. This Olympiacos side are very good. They're very slick. Could they, inflict a beating on Rangers? But that didn't prove to be the case. Cyril Dessers came up as the hero for Rangers and grabbed them a point. Robbie, what did you think?
Yeah, so I think to be honest, before the game, Rangers fans probably would have bitten your hand off for a draw away at Olympiacos. They're a great side. They've got an impressive home atmosphere. You know, I think on the whole, probably is a good result. However, I do also think that Rangers will probably be kicking themselves a little bit. They had quite a lot of opportunities to score. You mentioned Desa. I did come into this this podcast today thinking that I'm gonna absolutely rip into Dessers, who's literally just scored to win in the game against Hearts. But I'm not totally convinced by him. I think he missed two or three big chances early on in the game, and had he scored them, you know, Rangers could be 2-3 nil up within the first 30-40 minutes of the game. That completely changes it. Yes, he scored, and it was a great finish. But I feel like is he the striker to really lead them if they want to kick on more this season? I'm not 100% convinced by him, to be honest.
I think a lot of Rangers fans share that sentiment. I think a lot have doubts about Cyril Dessers and what he can provide. He said in an interview post-match, if I score three goals a game, I don't play for Rangers. A lot of fans didn't take too kindly to that. We will come on and speak in that in a little bit more depth, but I think a lot of Rangers fans share the sentiment that Cyril Dessers is not your... You know, he's not on the same level as Nikita Jelavic or Kenny Miller or Chris Boyd. He's very much on and off. As bestly as I can describe it, he's like a dodgy kettle.
He's
Sometimes he's on the boil.
no Nacho Novo, is what I'll say. You know,
Yeah. Okay,
you
I'm
know,
okay
when
with that.
you've got basically just a lineage of strikers, when a player like that, you know, comes about, you think, oh, maybe I wish someone in the commentary box would come out of retirement. But you know, he has scored 2 and 2, so I'll give him that.
One thing I would like to say actually is that I think Rangers can be very, very optimistic about Tierney's performances in the past month or so. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. He's got, I think, 8 goals and assists in his last 6 games. And he was good again against Olympiacos. I think he set Dessers up for his goal, and he also was a big part to play in a lot of the chances that Rangers have. So I think looking forwards for Rangers, he could be a very big player in the coming months.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think you can see the change in way that Rangers play when Vaclav Chernyi is in the team as opposed to when he's out of the team. Let's quickly switch gears to the final European match, which was Hearts versus Heidenheim. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if it was more entertaining, the match or the Heidenheim fans singing their team name song to a Christmas song. I found that very much amusing when I was on social media. It was a 2-0 defeat for Hearts in the Scottish capital. It was a performance that Hearts could turn back and say that, you know, we played positively, we just didn't get the chances or finish off the chances that we had. Archie, what was your feelings coming away from that match?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I didn't watch this particular game, but I believe this was Hearts' first time dropping points in the competition for the first time this season. So, I mean, to get to this stage and not have dropped any points is, you know, I think that's a feat within itself. But it's probably, again, when you're thinking Heidenheim getting 2 goals, you probably think that there's going to be a lot of chances that ended up being missed there. Of course, any European game likes to have a lot of noise around it, and players will hear that when that's actually in the game, and then the noise that comes off on social media. So I think to have the game be 2-0 and for Hearts to maybe not have scored, it's probably what the host could have wished for. They would have wanted to maybe see the game out, try and get away with a point, but it's probably just another challenge for Hearts to have faced this season.
Finlay, what about you? What do you think?
You know, obviously, last 2 games, no wins, but I think it's a very positive sign when, you know, you can see all the things that are going well, and definitely some of the things that need addressing. I think that's a good sign for Hearts fans. I was impressed. They looked solid in midfield for the most part. They fell away, which was disappointing. So, you know, you come away of it and you think we just need to get better at taking advantage of when we're dominant in phases. And I think that all boils down to when is Shanklin going to start scoring again? He has one goal this season. I think it's about 17 games. That's a shocking return. I know we slate Dessers, but I don't know, Stefan, if you think we've been guilty of giving Shanklin too much leeway and thinking, oh, don't worry, he'll come back to the Shanklin of old. I'm starting to question whether or not there's more going on, whether or not he's maybe acting out from not being able to leave in the summer. I know rumors were swelling. I don't know what you thought. Is it, have we been too generous with him?
I think a lot of the talk around Lauren Shankland has been quite relaxed in terms of he's certainly not the player that he was last season. He's not anywhere near the level of clinical finisher that he was last season. And I think a lot of people will give him pass marks for how good he was last season. It's the same way a lot of people gave Lee Griffiths pass marks when he had that 40 goal season at Celtic, and for 6 years people would talk about, oh, you know, but, you know, Lee Griffiths, you know, remember that season when he had all these goals? I think football fans can be quite, what's the word I'm looking for here? That they like to reminisce a lot. They like to think back to what was good, and they don't want to judge someone or criticise someone that gave them good moments. But I think for me, yeah, Lauren Shankland has he's not received the criticism that he deserves. Just like last season, he received all the plaudits that he deserved. I think this season, he's not received that sort of same level of that same, I guess that same level, albeit it would be criticism this time. You know, he's a club captain. There was talks about him leaving in the summer, possibly moving to Rangers. I think Lauren Shanklin would have been a far superior signing for Rangers than Cyril Dessers, but then again, that's just my opinion. Overall, a really good overall kind of week for Scottish teams in Europe. Celtic come away with the win, Rangers get a draw, and, you know, I think Hearts were unlucky to suffer a defeat to Heidenheim, especially 2-0. Thought 1-0 would probably have been as fair. Let's move on to the weekend's action. I'm just going to quickly run through all the results, and then we'll go into game by game and just talk over what that impact is. Dundee United took on Ross County. That match finished 3-0. Finlay, you were at Hibernian versus St Mirren. We know St Mirren ran out 2-1 winners. Motherwell chalked up another 3 points on the board in their hunt for third as they ran out 2-1 winners over St Johnstone. And Jimmy Tillian's Aberdeen saw themselves with a little bit of resurgency as they won 4-1 against Dundee. Today's fixtures, Kilmarnock gave Celtic a battering but ran out and lost 2-0 to the champions. And Rangers just finished there, took on Hearts, and it ended in a 1-0 win for the hosts. Let's switch back to last night. Finlay, Aberdeen, Jimmy Tillian bounced back from last weekend drubbing. What we saying to that?
I mean, very pleasing result, I would say. Last week we talked about, well, at least I made a point about Aberdeen needed to show that they could come back from a result like the hammering at Celtic. And first half, not very convincing. You know, lucky to get away with one with Simon Murray's missed penalty. But in the end, just had too much for Dundee. And, you know, Dundee had no one to blame but themselves. They were poor. But a very good result. I'd be very pleased if I was an Aberdeen fan because now you've got the home stretch, no European competitions, no League Cup. You can just go week by week and really kind of pile the pressure on Celtic there.
Nope, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Archie, for you, Dundee, it seems like they're having a little bit of a stop-start season. They've won against Motherwell. They've won against Kelly in the last month or so, but they've had a couple of losses in there. Not the Dundee of last season, and almost like a stop-start stutter kind of beginning for Dundee. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, they're at seventh now, I'm pretty sure. And Doherty said that he wanted this game to have started strong from the very beginning, but they'll be unsatisfied with a decent first half, as I think he labelled it. It just appeared very lukewarm. And it's wrong to try and sugarcoat it like fans will try to, but where was that fight back that they'd shown in their last match? You know, they've got Hibs next, which should be comfortable. And I think the club really needs to think about what they want from this season, because they know that that next game is going to be in their hands. But yeah, it's not a good showing after you show a real fight back in that last game.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Robbie, I guess for yourself, Aberdeen ran out 4-1 winners. Dundee had a penalty in the first half, saved by Mitov. I think it was Simon Murray that took the kick and missed. What did you make of the match as a whole?
I think that penalty save was a massive, massive moment in the first half. I think it was crucial for Aberdeen to win this game after the 6-0 against Celtic. And you could kind of see that in the first half performance. They looked very shaky. They looked nervous. Had they gone 1-0 down, things could have been very, very different. Obviously, a penalty save just before half-time completely changes the team talk. And I think they came out after that and looked absolutely brilliant. The one thing that I would say about Aberdeen is I thought that, you know, without Papa Gay, they would not be scoring as many goals. But they seem to be scoring goals from positions all over the pitch. And I think it does show that clearly the system that they're playing is an effective one. So I think there are definitely a lot of positives for Aberdeen there, because it seems like they've made a statement to say that they're not just going to lie down and hand Celtic this title.
No, I think that's fair. You know, Papa Gay was important to Aberdeen at the very beginning of the season, unfortunate with an injury. But, you know, Aberdeen do have a really strong team, and they can come up with goals, as you've mentioned, all over the park. Last night it was Pulversa, Keskinen, I'm going to butcher his name here, Bezigen, and then Kevin Nisbet in the last dying embers of the game. They do have goals all over the park, and I think that's what makes them a really strong team this season, is that, you know, that they have goals in them and goals in abundance. And I think the game in a month's time, in the 4th of December at Pittodrie against Celtic, is gonna be a cracker in the lead up to Christmas. Dundee United have also started the season really strongly. They cruised to a 3-0 victory last night against Ross County. A really dominant performance for a team that's chasing down third spot. Archie, what do you make of Dundee United's start, and what's their chances of keeping a tight grab on Rangers and maybe nicking third at some point?
Yeah, I think it's really awesome that the team is now looking at more than what was just thought going to be another survival season for them. But could Europe be on the cards? I think that's the real question here. And it's a really exciting question. They showed real gumption in that second half against Ross County. And Ross County seemed very regimed for nearly three quarters of the game. They're possibly finding that level scale of when to sit back and when to then go for it quite difficult. And I think that's often the decider when you're in the middle of the league or going for that top four. United have found that quicker this weekend, but County looked very solid at the very least. It's probably just a really concerning away record now. I think it's 14 months without an away win now. But yeah, for United, it's a really exciting prospect for possible European football. And I think they should definitely just keep gunning for it now.
No, absolutely. Finlay, what about yourself? Ross County, they find themselves down in ninth place. They're on 12 points. They're not in danger of falling into the relegation by the looks of it, but they're also not doing as well where they can try. They're 3 points off of top six, but they're also 3 points off of dropping into the danger zone. If you're a Ross County fan, would you be comfortable with where you're at, just knowing that if you can consistently try and perform, that you'll do your best, that they'll manage to stay up? Does that make sense?
You're always in danger in a Scottish Premiership, and I think that is the beauty of the league and a 12-team league. You know, you might think you're comfortable. Two games later, you're dead bottom. And I think last season was a different story. Ross County and St. Johnstone always really looked like they were going to be bottom two. And for everyone else, it was a case of, let's just get through this and then hopefully pull away when we get to playing each other in the kind of in phase two. If I were a Ross County fan, I would be worried. I think there are definitely some bright sparks. I really like Ronan Hale as a striker. I think just, you know, misses a few chances. There was a good block in the last game, and I wouldn't count them out. I don't think they look like a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. But I would say, you know, Motherwell, Celtic, Rangers, those are your next three games. You could find yourself adrift in about a month. So it's always, I think, it's important for them to just not take any points for granted, to really fight for every point, especially at this time of year.
Okay. Motherwell versus St Johnstone. The Steelmen ran out 2-1 winners. Motherwell, like Dundee United, hunting down third place. We've spoken, I think we've waxed lyrical about Motherwell over the last number of weeks, in particular Lennon Miller, but they really do seem like a team that, compared to last season, they seem like they're putting together a solid little run. How much do you think that means to Stuart Kettlewell, but also the supporters, because they are a well-run club and it now feels like they're reaping the rewards on the park, Finlay?
No, Motherwell have kind of been a very big surprise for me. They look stable. I think very much Lennon Miller, like we've talked about, is a very big contributor, but they've got a whole set of players who are doing a job for them. I think Stuart Kettlewell, I really just thought last season, I definitely thought they were a kind of seventh, eighth, ninth kind of team, and they just look very strong. And I think they did a job on St Johnstone. I think they took advantage. St Johnstone were looking very, very sloppy in defence, and I think they might be between them and Dundee United for fourth. I think that's a big battle that I'm going to keep an eye out for. I don't know if you think they'll fall away if they don't have enough, but I think they look good.
No, I think they look really good. I think they put themselves in a really good position for European football, and I think that's going to be the aim, especially if you want to try and keep Lennon Miller around next season, is having that advantage of European football as opposed to clubs down south. That, okay, you could go down and play in the Championship, but are you going to be able to play European football? And to do that for your boyhood club, I think that would be a really, strong advantage that Motherwell could have to keep Lennon Miller around. We know how good he is. I think that's clear to see. So it'll be a really interesting one. Robbie, I don't know about you, but under Vallecari, St Johnstone, well, do you think we've yet to see the best of St Johnstone?
I do, yeah. I do actually think that St Johnstone have been quite unlucky in a few of their games this year. I think, especially yesterday, I think they were probably unlucky not to come away with a point at least. They gave St Johnstone, they gave Motherwell just as good as a game as Motherwell gave them. They both had plenty of chances to score, and they obviously St Johnstone had one ruled out right at the end. So I think, yeah, there's clearly quality in that side. They look like a relatively well organized outfit. So yeah, I do think that hopefully anyway that they will start to kind of kick on and maybe start to grasp maybe one extra point here and there. And I think once they can do that, then the morale will probably lift and the momentum might start to change for them.
Okay. Finlay, you were at Hibs versus St Mirren. What was the atmosphere like at full time? We know St Mirren ran out 2-1 winners. What was the atmosphere like inside Easter Road?
Nightmare fuel if you're a Hibs fan. That I think it was cr the end of the game was crazy. It Hibs looked down and out, then they get a second penalty. You know, Mark Boyle did them no favors missing that first one. Really, kind of in my eyes, I know there was that call ruled out, but kind of killed any chance of making a comeback there, you know, to score a penalty in added time. And then they thought really that they'd done it again. I know I wasn't, you know, everyone around was pretty convinced that it was offside. I know Stephen Robinson himself was convinced that he'd seen it at the time, was never really worried. Yeah, it was a clear offside. But I thought for a second that Hibs were about to do onto others, and as everyone had done onto them. But overall, they were poor, like seriously poor. Just players hiding from the ball. St. Mirren didn't really have to do anything. They had the ball, what, probably about 30% possession, just but looked totally dominant. I think I'd be worried. I don't think anything's going to change for them.
Robbie, what about yourself? I think we ask this question every single week on the podcast. David Gray out?
Yeah, I think to be honest, it's only a matter of time before he's sacked now. I think things are looking really bleak for Hibs at the moment. I think in the past few weeks, I've been a little bit more lenient on Hibs in terms of their defending because I think on the whole they've actually defended all right. They've just struggled to score goals. But yesterday the defensive performance was absolutely shocking. It was really, really poor. But again, it is just another case of more missed chances for Hibs. You know, they had plenty of chances to score and they still couldn't do it. They might have been a bit unlucky yesterday in terms of the disallowed goal and a missed penalty, but there's no excuse for missing that many chances, and it's coming back to haunt them at the moment.
It's 2 out of 2 for St Mirren this season against Hibernian. They ran out 3-0 winners back at the start of the season on the 4th of August. They now run out 2-1 winners away from home. Archie, do you think this has been St Mirren's best performance of the season, or at least one of them?
Yeah, I think the planning going up against what was a really calamitous Hibs side was really good to be able to see out this game with their victory. I think, you know, the host really didn't show much improvement as we've talked about. And I think towards the end of the game, St Mirren were just cruising. So I think chance-wise and what they were able to do creatively, I think definitely, you know, probably their best game. But it doesn't speak a lot for your performance when whoever you're facing doesn't show as much improvement, and you feel like you're maybe facing a bit of like a limp biscuit against the other side. But I think with the changes that Robinson was able to make, minimal changes, I think it really just spoke for the game, and I think he did really well to see out the result.
All right, let's move on to today's fixtures, or Sunday's fixtures. Celtic, Kilmarnock versus Celtic. It felt like there was no European hangover for the champions, but by God, did Kilmarnock give them a bloody nose. Well, they certainly gave Adam Ida a bloody nose, but they rocked the champions, and there was periods where in that game you were thinking Kilmarnock might just do exactly what they did last season at Rugby Park 11 months ago to the day and take points off and knock Celtic's title challenge, or title defence rather, into the wind. Robbie, what did you make of the performance from Kilmarnock today?
I thought it was a really positive performance in the first half. I think they took advantage of the fact that Rangers had sorry, not Rangers, Celtic had scored had won midweek and played in the Europe in the Champions League, and it did look that way. It did look very much as though Kilmarnock were on top in the first half. They had lots of chances. They it looked like they battered you, to be honest. But I just think that Celtic have got too much quality. You know, they've managed to soak it all up, score one just before half time, I believe, and then was it just before half time or just after half time? And then yeah, and then at the end of the day, it ends up being a Celtic win. I think Nicholas Kuhn, obviously, absolutely brilliant player, but I do think that we also should probably give the flowers to Callum McGregor a bit. Because I do think it's been a massive boost having him back. I thought he played absolutely brilliantly in midweek, and I thought he's played brilliantly again today. And I think Celtic do look like a more intense side, a more high pressing side, just a overall better side when he's in the squad. So yeah, I think that's a big boost for Celtic now.
Yeah, listen, Callum McGregor knits that Celtic team together. He is the conductor of the orchestra. Everything that happens at Celtic on the park goes through Callum McGregor. Aberdeen. Kilmarnock, they really did give Celtic a good going over. A couple of nasty bits of challenges flying in everywhere. Finlay, should Joe Wright have seen red for the smack on the face of Adam Ida? Or was it, it clearly wasn't intentional, it was just a little bit forceful.
Now, I was on my way back from watching the Thistle Women, so I only, what did I catch? I caught a bit on someone's iPhone, and towards the end, I saw a little bit of a clash with Kasper Schmeichel, so I didn't get the entirety of this game. So I think I'll refer you to someone else. The point I'll bring up quickly is, for you, I saw Luke McGowan came on right at the end. Why do you think he's not playing more? Surely played midweek. You know, you're up. Why not give him more game time? Is there something going wrong? Is he not fitting in?
I'm not sure. I think that's a really good question. I really like the look of Luke McCowan. I think he's a really versatile player, and I think he slots nicely into the fold at Celtic. But I guess the question that always gets begged is, where does he ultimately fit in? We spoke about Lennon Miller possibly. You know, Celtic should potentially go after him. I don't see Lennon Miller fitting into the Celtic squad any time soon. Luke McCowan has his place where he can come in to the team here and there, and the way he fits into the team, it fits like a glove. But I think when you have the talent of Callum McGregor, Arne Engels, Paolo Bernardo, Reo Hitati in front of you, listen, that's no mean feat to be the guy that comes in and just shores things up towards the end of the game. It has abundance of talent. Former captain at Dundee. Just, I don't think it's that he doesn't fit. I just think it's that there are players with an abundance of quality ahead of him, and that's a good headache for any manager to have. In terms of the. I guess I asked a question about should Joe Wright have been sent off. Anyone that's seen the footage, seen it's not that he went leading with his elbow. He didn't look like he didn't take a you know a quick look at Adam. He didn't say I'm going to smash him in the face. But there definitely was a little bit of not forceful intent, but there was a little bit of heavy handedness in it, and it you know it stopped the game for 4 minutes. But that's why I begged the question. Reo Hitati towards the end of the game slid in and made a challenge. It got referred to VAR to decide whether that should have been a red card as opposed to a yellow card. VAR deemed in the favour of the Japanese midfielder. When I watched the game, I felt like it was a silly challenge. He'd just lost the ball. He tried to recover. But I think his saving grace was that he pulled out of the challenge, so that avoided that. Overall, I guess we could all agree that it was a I guess not a great performance from Celtic, but a win at a really difficult venue, Robbie.
Yeah, well, I think that these are kind of the games that define champions, I suppose. You know, you don't the games where you're not playing as well, but you still come out with a result. That's what you want, and that's what could prove to be, you know, really decisive come the end of the season.
All right, let's move on to our final match of the weekend. It finished about an hour ago. It was Rangers 1, Hearts 0. Cyril Dessers scored the only goal of the game. We spoke about his comments in midweek, left a lot to be desired. What do we rate the performance in? Was it a needed performance? Was it just after midweek, go in and get the job done kind of performance? Archie, what did you think?
Yeah, I think the result, maybe you'd want it as a Rangers fan to feel more emphatic heading towards the top part of the table, but it maybe feels a bit more convenient. I think they're now 9 points behind Celtic and Aberdeen going into that international break. So I think, you know, Dessers has kind of been a bit of a saving grace there, and props to him. Of course, an early goal, and then that sees out the rest of the game. But again, it's maybe just a lack of intent from Hearts. Of course, they had the free kick towards the end of the game. But apart from that, you know, not much left to be said at Ibrox. And I think Rangers have already lost that tempo and drive that they've tried to put forward for the rest of this season. So I think the result was wanted. It was definitely needed. But whether it defines anything going forward for them after the international break, I think is left to be said.
Kenneth Vargas should have put Hearts level twice tonight. Hearts' lack of clinical finishing up front is really starting to hurt them. How did they sort of, after the international week, Finlay, how did they start to get back to the Hearts of old?
I mean, Kenneth Vargas having two chances to put them ahead is pretty much the story of his Hearts career. You know, last season it was okay. Creatively, I like him on the ball. I think he's good going forward. Last season it was fine that he couldn't put his chances away because Shankler could have, you know, done a back heel from the halfway line and it would have found its way in. This season, completely different story. They don't really have the same goals at all. How do they get back to their best? That's a good question. I think they're going to have to look at signings. They're going to maybe have to look at maybe, well, hopefully Wilson, you know, I always love seeing the kind of young players getting game time. Maybe Wilson figures someone to rotate, give him a rest. If it's a mental thing, he might have to be sold. His value will have dropped considerably by them holding him on, like holding on to him. But they might make that money back with a few wins in Europe. So you never know. It might have to be the case of sell him off whilst you can, get someone else in.
Okay, no, perfect. That captures all of the weekend's action. However, to finish off the podcast, we're going to introduce a weekly quiz. Now, I refrained from telling the boys this just as I came on. I said there's a surprise towards the end, but I'm not going to let you know what it is. It is now a quiz, and I've decided that this week, for future weeks, we're just going to toss a coin and see who plays. We'll do heads or tails. But tonight, it's going to be Findlay versus Robbie. It's going to be 30 seconds to answer as many questions as you can. For the purpose of the audience, we're recording this on Zoom. So right now, I'm going to put Robbie into a breakout room. I'm going to ask Finlay as many questions in 30 seconds. And yeah, we're going to go from that. Feel free to play along at home. Everyone happy with that?
Yeah, watch me talk myself out of a career in media here.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
You teed me right up. But you know what? I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
It is going to be 30 seconds on the clock. It is going to be this. The quiz is going to be all about last season in Scottish football. So if this is really low scoring, I do apologise. But if we can make some fun in the meantime, I'm happy for it. Right, Robbie, I'm going to pop you into a breakout room. Number one, Lauren Shankland was last season's top scorer, but how many goals did he score in the Premiership?
34.
What was the aggregate score from the playoff finals when Raith Rovers faced Ross County?
4-3.
Celtic's Matt O'Reilly had the most assists last season, but who was second on the list?
Tavernier.
Out with Celtic and Rangers, which Premier side scored the most league goals last term?
Celtic. Oh, sorry, okay. Out with. Hearts.
Time is up. I have to accept our first answer.
Oh, what?
And we go like that. Right, let's get Robbie back in.
Shambles.
Robbie, how are you?
Extremely nervous, ready to get zero out of however many and get booed off the podcast.
Well, don't worry about that. Let's give it a go. I'm just going to reset my questions. Lauren Shankland was last season's top scorer, but how many goals did he score in the Premiership?
23.
What was the aggregate score in the playoff final when Raith Rovers faced Ross County?
2-1.
Celtic's Matt O'Reilly had the most assists last season, but who was second in the list?
Callum McGregor.
Out with Celtic and Rangers, which Premiership side scored the most league goals last season?
Hearts.
And that is the 30 seconds up. I will recap the answers for anyone out there that did play along at home, see how many you got. Lauren Shankland was last season's top scorer, but how many Premiership goals did he score in the Premiership? 24 was the answer. You were just one out, Robbie.
Oh,
I
shocker.
was very optimistic. I think I said 34.
You said 34. The aggregate score between Raith Rovers and Ross County last season was 6-1. So neither of you got that. Celtic's Matt O'Reilly had the most assists last season, but second in the list, Kilmarnock's Danny Armstrong.
What a player.
Out with Celtic and Rangers, the Premiership side that scored the most league goals last season was Motherwell. And that leaves you both on a terrible
It's a
Desmond.
nil-nil draw.
So to end it, I am going to get one of you to put in the privately send me a message in the chat. I'm going to say Finlay, if you privately send me a message in the chat, so direct it to
Yeah.
me and not to the chat, I'm just going to ask you a question and closest to the answer wins. Robbie, wait for, I'll tell you when Finlay's sent me a message. And once I've received the message, I will then ask you to provide your answer to the audience. Does that all
Okay.
make sense to everyone?
I bet
Yeah,
Robbie
sounds
Googles
good.
it.
Okay, right, here we go. How many penalty kicks were awarded in the Scottish Premiership last season? I'm going to push you for time, just a quick one. Okay, Robbie, what's your answer?
And my answer is 168.
And we have a winner. Your winner of tonight's quiz, the most penalty kicks awarded last season was 71. And with 48, Finlay has stolen it. That is an absolute backdoor
That is a
victory.
toenail.
Yeah,
You,
I did think that 168 might have been a bit of a long shot, but you know.
For Finlay's answer, and the question was, out with the Old Firm, which Premiership side scored the most league goals? He said Celtic. So for that, we should have a points deduction, but I don't make the rules. So there we go. I genuinely, the standard has been set, and it has to surely get better. I'm not going to lie, if I was taking part in these quizzes, I'd win them because, you know, I love it. I love a quiz. But yeah, that is wrapping up the weekend's action. We've had a quiz to end it. This has been De Stefano Talks, Talking Scottish Football, Episode 5. Archie, Robbie, Finlay, thank you so much for joining me. And we will see you all again next time.